The White House has issued threats to veto either the House or Senate versions of the crucial 2017 defense authorization bill. But staff directors of both armed services committees say Congress will stick to its guns. But before they can do that, the two legislative houses need to hammer out their own differences in conference. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni reports.
The White House has now issued veto threats for both the House and Senate versions of the defense authorization bill. Those bills hold measures that completely overhaul the organization of the Defense Department, make changes to the defense acquisition system, and use some uncommon budgetary tactics to pay for a troop increase. But congressional staffers are sticking to their guns in the face of an executive veto. Here's Bob Simmons, staff director of the House Armed Services Committee, speaking at an AEI event in Washington.
I find it ironic that we're doing all these things to help the Department of Defense, and basically the president's saying, last time I looked, it is the president proposes and the Congress disposes of the budget, so that's what we've done, and if he's going to veto it, you know, then he certainly is operating under a false pretense, because we're taking care of the warfighter. We want to make sure those kids go into theater and go into harm's way with what they need.
The staffers' remarks are the biggest pushback against the executive branch's criticisms of the bill since the Senate passed its version this month. But before Congress can fully turn its attention to the possibility of a veto, it needs to reconcile its internal differences on the NDAA. Chris Brose, staff director for the Senate Armed Services Committee, says the way funds are allocated, defense health reforms, and acquisition changes will be the biggest areas that need to be smoothed out between the two legislative branches. Brose did not give a timeline as to when the conference would be finished, but Senate Armed Services Committee Chairman John McCain has said he'd like to finish everything before the August recess. That's a pretty ambitious goal. One of the biggest points of contention between the White House and Congress is the way the Defense Department is funded in the House NDAA. The House took $18 billion from the wartime fund called the Overseas Contingency Operations, or OCO. It used that money for items the president did not request in his 2017 budget. That includes an increased pay for active duty military and a bump to troop strength. By taking money out of OCO, it dries up funds for the wars in the Middle East by April 2017. That forces the new president to ask for another wartime fund to pay for the wars through the end of 2017. The White House is calling the move irresponsible and says it puts its troops at risk. If Congress can't pass a second wartime supplemental, the war fighters are the ones that will suffer. But Simmons hit back at the White House criticism.
This approach that we're taking is the exact approach that the Democrats, when they controlled the Congress, took in 2008 to initiate the Obama administration. So they said, well, we'll only partially fund it, and you come back with a supplemental request for the balance of it once you set your policy. So it's not like we haven't done this before, and in fact, it was the Democrats who did it last time. So we think it is an absolutely rational way of going, and then the candidates, whoever ends up being the president, can just make their own assessment of what the foreign policy is and the direction they want to take the country, and then ask us for the funding appropriate for that effort.
On the Senate side, John McCain wanted an extra $18 billion in his Senate bill, too. Instead of taking the same road as the House and using money from OCO, McCain offered an amendment on the bill to add the $18 billion. McCain's amendment fell 4 votes short of the 60 needed to pass, but now that the bill's in conference, it's very possible that McCain might actually get what he asked for. The House tactic could make it into the final version of the bill. A conference bill only needs a simple majority to pass, and as McCain's amendment displayed, there are 56 senators willing to vote for the $18 billion more in the budget. Another area of contention between the legislator and the White House comes from organizational reforms in the Senate bill. The bill tries to give the defense secretary more power to work across different functions of the DoD. It also gets rid of the undersecretary of defense for acquisition technology and logistics. That position will be replaced by 2 assistant acquisition secretaries. One will focus on the day-to-day acquisitions, while the other will focus on research and innovation. The bill also reduces the number of staff for National Security Council. The White House calls the organizational changes a micromanagement of the DoD. Here's Brose on the need for cross-functional authority for the defense secretary.
Our answer is that the secretary needs a mechanism to integrate across functions. in a way that allows them to pull, or her, you know, to pull the relevant components out of those different functional areas of expertise, centers of excellence, bring them together and integrate them in a way that's focused on achieving a mission. So what the provision in the Senate bill does is simply direct the next Secretary of Defense to identify a discrete number of the highest priority missions that the department has, left at the Secretary's discretion. So that can be, you know, ISIL, it can be Russia, it can be cybersecurity or anything else. Assign a team leader, you know, so we're not adding bureaucracy here. We're talking about, you know, identifying someone who can be the leader of that team. And then empower that individual with, one, a sense of what the goal is, two, the ability to pick a team that represents the different functions that are relevant to the achievement of that goal, and then hold that person accountable for providing advice to the Secretary of Defense that integrates all the different functions that are relevant to achieving that mission. Right now, there isn't a mechanism to do that. You have assistant secretaries, you have undersecretaries, but they can't integrate themselves. I mean, they're all equal. So what it ends up being is, you know, the SecDef, the deputy, oftentimes trying to do this in a very ad hoc way with what limited bandwidth they have amidst, you know, foreign travel, domestic travel, sit room meetings, foreign visitors, et cetera. So, this is our answer, which was. Informed by, you know, what we see as, you know, really kind of the best practice in the private sector.
Last year, the president ended up vetoing the NDAA over differences with Congress. The budget deal came to the rescue and finally allowed the bill to pass. This year, there's no budget deal for the branches to lean on. In Washington, Scott Massioni, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to FederalNewsRadio.com/FederalDrive and click Share with Friends.